Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
We just don't think about our ears very often, do we? Until, of course, we start to experience problems like ear infections or itchy ears or even hearing loss. Well, what do doctors wish their patients knew when it comes to taking care of their ears? Dr. Maura Finn is here to tell us everything we need to know now about our ears. Maura, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire. I hope it's everything you need to know.
Well,
I'll do my best.
I hope so too. No pressure at all. But it
is true.
We don't really consider our ears very often when we don't need to. Like we're not looking at them all of the time, but they can really cause problems.
Oh, they can. But like that's natural as well. None of us kind of think of, we take our health for granted until something goes wrong. But with our ears, you know, they're far more complex than people actually think. And thankfully, from a very young age, every baby leaves the hospital after having a hearing screening test. So it's something that actually medically we're very tuned into from a very, very young age, because there can be congenital reasons for hearing loss
and
they will be picked up at birth.
Right, and we'll talk about hearing loss in a moment, but I want to start with the very basic thing of cleaning your ears. And is it the case now that the earbuds, we're not to use those ones, the cotton buds?
No, and it is the case. Yes, you shouldn't. And the old adage of nothing smaller than your elbow in your ear is actually what we would kind of go with. Anything like that, putting your ears are self-cleaning. So the ear structure is the outer ear, which is the pinna, which is the ear lobe and what you see on the outside. Then there's the kind of the ear canal, which is a funnel really that funnels the noise through to the ear drum. And that vibrates and moves bones in your middle ear. And that is what kind of then is transported to the brain. And we kind of acknowledge that there's sound and that's what the brain understands. So that ear canal, which is where you'd be putting in the cotton buds to try and clear them out, that is self-cleaning. That has very, very sensitive skin. It has very, very, there's no fat in that area. So the skin can be damaged really, really easily. And it has a protective layer of wax to protect against water or other foreign bodies that might get in there. And it actually manages to clear itself out. Now, there are a few people who can't, that they actually do get impacted wax and maybe need to have their ears syringed or microsuctioned. But the majority of people, if you leave your ears alone, and this includes for small children, leave them alone and they will actually clean themselves. You can clean the very outside if there's like obvious dirt
and
there,
the upper bits of your ear, the upper foldy bits of your ear. Can we compromise on that and use a cotton bud for that bit?
Yeah, we can compromise on that, but don't put it into the ear canal. That's that's the most important thing, because you can have really irritated skin in the ear canal if you actually do damage to it. It gets really itchy, really annoying, and people are kind of driven mad with it. And it's frequently because that protective layer of wax is gone and the skin has kind of turned into like very dry eczema type thing. And you can also have skin conditions, any skin condition you have, be it psoriasis, seborrheic dermatitis or eczema, can affect the ear canal as well. So as well, you don't want to develop an infection in there from a broken skin barrier.
Yeah, doing more harm than good.
Exactly.
I have an awful lot of questions coming in, so I'm just going to go through them, and I'm sure we're going to address some of the issues that our listeners have at home as we go through all of these. So this one, I'm in my 70s. I had sudden hearing loss 18 months ago after a steroid injection and an MRI. It was suggested that the hearing loss could have been as a result of a stroke, and there were no other effects of a stroke. So I've gone down the rocky road of a hearing aid. I've had two so far, and all I can get is about 10% of noise. This is just in one ear, so at least I have one hearing ear. But it means I can't hear people talking in a gathering of any kind now, so I'm avoiding these situations. So this listener would like to know, is there any hearing aid that would give me even 50% help?
That's interesting. Now, that straddles a lot of the problems with hearing, doesn't it? Especially the psychological aspect of it. If when people lose their hearing, they really become very isolated and often avoid social interaction as a result, and even with kind of natural, slow, progressive age-related hearing loss. So it's very important, that point. After a stroke, if it was, what you would imagine has happened there is that the area of the brain that interprets the sound and interprets noise and interprets that uses that nerve impulse go to may be damaged, in which case a hearing aid which only amplifies the sound that's coming into your ear probably will make very little difference. Now, after a stroke, sometimes there is a good recovery. You know, maybe it's a matter of a little bit longer waiting for that area of the brain to kind of recover a little bit. It may be an issue if it isn't the brain tissue itself. Cochlear implants are where they bypass the altered structures of the ear and stimulate the nerve impulses. But again, that won't work if it's the brain itself that is damaged from a stroke. So it's a very tricky situation. One thing I would say definitely for that person is to absolutely look after the hearing in the other ear so that he can compensate, and try not to avoid social situations. Modify your behaviour. Ask people to modify their behaviour for you so that you can stay active and stay involved in conversation. Because there's nothing more damaging long term for our health than loneliness and isolation.
Mm-hmm. And how do you look after the hearing in the other ear? Like, what sort of steps are you advising that person takes?
Well, I mean, from an early age, what we're talking about is, you know, babies get ear infections all the time. So obviously ear infections are usually temporary and treated and fine. But if they're not acknowledged or not treated and turn into chronic, that can cause damage to the ear. That's rare, but it can happen. Some medication that people take routinely can affect hearing as well. Damage to loud noise exposure, so occupational loud noise exposure or fun loud noise exposure like a concert, can cause damage, which isn't always temporary, to your ears as well.
Yeah.
So they're really important. And then other lifestyle things, you know, just make sure they get a baseline hearing test. That's a very good idea. Make sure the ear is healthy. The audiologists are fabulous at doing these examinations. And making sure you don't smoke and that your diet is good generally, so that you avoid any issues around, maybe say like that, developing a stroke, which affects the hearing. Look after everything.
I have another one here which relates to occupational noise. So this person is self-employed, aged 58, and over the years of using carpentry machines, I have a buzzing in both ears similar to listening to radio static. So that person wants to know where would be best to get assessed for this, and would hearing aids help?
They may do. So that's probably what we call tinnitus, which is a buzzing or an unusual noise in the ear. And it's often from the same risk factors apply as hearing loss. So it is probably from the loud exposure he's had over the years. And even if somebody has been very good in using earmuffs most of the time, everybody takes chances and takes shortcuts, and it's almost certainly from that noise exposure. Now, tinnitus is actually something that's really, really difficult to treat. It can be really annoying. And most of the treatments involve, well, first of all, you make sure that there's nothing that can be fixed. So you look to make sure that there isn't some sort of a sinister problem in the ear, or many ears disease, or other issues like that. So that depends on whether they have vertigo and hearing loss as well. But I would assume that this is pure tinnitus from loud noise exposure. And in that case, these white noise machines and kind of something that will distract you are usually the best thing, because it's usually in a quiet space that you really notice it. His hearing should be tested, absolutely. And if the hearing is low as well, then hearing aids are exactly the way to go. Mm-hmm. But they will not fix the tinnitus. That's important to know.
Yes, and you can only treat that. And I know it's so frustrating for people. Mm. There is no cure for tinnitus. Now, blocked ears, I have a good few on this. So let me just give you an example. So this past 2 years, my ears are blocking as if I've just been swimming. My GP has given me antibiotics on 3 occasions. I'm 42. I'm very active in exercise. At the moment, I'm using olive oil, which is clearing one ear up, but then the other one starts blocking and it can last for weeks. I don't put anything in my ears like cotton buds. And that listener wants to know, are grommets an option? And people will know if you have that sensation where you might feel it when you have a cold, but you have to sort of hold your nose and you feel as though if you blow out and put pressure on your ears, that it might unblock it. I think that's what that person is describing.
Mm. And that's exactly what you do. And it's what you do in a plane to equalize the pressures between the outside and the inside. Now, it's really interesting because if it's that Valsalva maneuver when you close your nose and blow and the sensation is behind the middle ear, behind the eardrum, then that's inside, that's in the middle ear. If it's the ear canal, then it's a different issue. And using olive oil is only helping the ear canal, because the eardrum is a barrier between the two, between the outer ear and the inner ear and the middle ear. So So there could be two issues. If they're swim, especially cold water swimming, this is something that's important to know, actually. People can develop a problem when they're cold water swimming, and a lot of people do that at the moment, and it's great for them in other ways. But they can develop a kind of an overgrowth of bone in the ear canal, and it can cause problems, blockage, hearing loss and other issues. So that's one thing to make sure that the ear canal is healthy and that the eardrum is healthy. If it's inside in the middle ear, it is connected to the nose and all that kind of congestion and sinus congestion. So doing that procedure that you said, close your nose and blow, will help. Sometimes we use nasal sprays that will actually help decrease the amount of mucus that you develop in that area. Sometimes you use antibiotics if it's an acute thing. Sometimes you have it surgically drained, but it's, you're talking about draining up rather than draining through your ear. And grommets are a thing where it very frequently used with babies that get recurring ear infections, but they're a little tube that gives a way that the fluid in the middle ear can drain into the outer ear. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's just a little tube so that all that congestion that's in there is allowed to come out. That could be the answer here. They're rarely done in adults because our tubes are bigger and we can usually clear them easily. But this person is struggling for a long time, so maybe... maybe they should, an ENT specialist probably would be the answer here.
Okay, so ENT, so get a referral really is your advice, yeah, to explore all of those options. So many people have itchy ears, Maura. Lots of them getting in touch with us this morning. So this person uses cotton buds. I know I shouldn't. How can I keep my ears clean and not itchy without using the buds? I've tried olive oil, but they were so sticky and itchy that they drove me mad. So this person has sticky ears that generate a lot of wax and get itchy.
I love it. It's like a confessional, isn't it, that they're saying they're using their cotton buds. But the reason is because you've used the cotton buds. You're doing that because they feel a little bit wet and sticky and you're trying to dry them out. But by doing that, you're actually clearing away the protective layer of wax, which is that sticky substance, a bit like Vaseline, that actually is there to protect this really, really dry, delicate skin. And it is a pattern that so many people get into. Now, not everybody will be, the culprit using the cotton buds, but if they're exposed to water an awful lot, water will tend to kind of, wax is there to protect against the water, but if you have too much exposure, that can actually mean that the wax layer is actually taken away. In that situation, what you do with any dry skin condition, what we say is moisturize it. Very difficult to moisturize your ears, obviously. But when people would use things like olive oil or any oil, because what you're doing is you're just putting a layer of some protective stuff into the ear canal so that the skin is a bit protected. It's a difficult thing to do all the time. But, that generally works. Then we can use steroid drops as well, and they help heal the lining of the skin. And they're very good for the itch itself as well. But the itch is common because the ears are dry. They're dry because the wax has been taken away. So you have to go back to the basics and
keep
kind of make sure they're moisturized.
Keep away from the cotton buds. That's where we started and that's where we finish. Maura, thank you so much. That's Dr. Maura Fay.